Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
This episode of New Cyber Frontier on today, a special episode with two of my fellow board members for the Cyber Resilience Institute, which you see a lot of on our show. Some of the advertisements, our prime sponsor, we have Jane Ginn and Doug DePep. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so
happy to be here.
Good to have you. And there's so many exciting things going on with the Cyber Resilience Institute that we just had to have them on here to give an update. And I think, give us just kind of a list of all the things you have going on. Let's talk about that from a high level. What are all these things under the Cyber Resilience Institute wing?
Sure. And I'm going to ask Jane to give an outline of what we're going to talk about. So Jane, why don't you just start and just kind of give everybody a roadmap of what we're here to talk about?
Okay. So the Cyber Resilience Institute has been in the development for the last couple of years of the C market. And you'll see in the introductory text there on the page that you linked to a URL where you can go to that website. But the C market is the primary sponsor of this movement called Community Cyber. And what we're really doing is trying to encourage communities to pull together and form associations where they can really provide some kind of a mechanism for defense against the ongoing attacks that we are all experiencing from threat actors. We also are the primary sponsor of the SPORTS ISAO, Information Sharing Analysis Organization, and we'll be talking about that later in the podcast. And then finally, what's really important about the C market are our various programs that we offer, and you can take a look at them on the website, and then we'll also be outlining some of the features of those programs today.
Great, Jane, thanks for that. Yeah, let me just start off by highlighting the Community Cyber Initiative. We call it a movement, and we want communities to, not just communities, but stakeholders, others who view the threat as being a threat to communities, not just a threat to networks. So Community Cyber is casting the threat that way and casting the response that the way to approach cyber is by forming community organizations. And so we want stakeholders and champions to rally around that idea that, hey, we've got to form and address this collective risk through collective means. And that's the Community Cyber movement. And that's nested within, as Jane mentioned, within C market. We wanted to give, you know, this high level, what are we trying to do? What's the problem we're trying to solve? Well, we're trying to solve that we can't defend individual networks in separate fashion. We've got to come together and collaborate and share resources and share threat intelligence. And that's why we call it Community Cyber. And then what C market is a way to create a self-sustainable model. What we viewed as being necessary to achieve Community Cyber was a revenue base, a market-making capability, so that it's not exclusively government-funded. There typically aren't resources for that, and that since we're all in this together in this sense of collective risk, then let's establish a collective model a market-making model that brings market forces to communities and brings innovation to communities. So that's Sea Market, and we would love for those interested to reach out and connect with us, establish a Sea Market instance to pursue community cyber. And one of the other key things that I want to mention as to how we go about it, we realize that, that sport is just such a magnet. You know, we're trying to market make. You need to develop market forces. Obviously, you need demand. You need demand and supply, or supply and demand. And so, so how do you get attention to this difficult idea of we're going to form a market making community initiative? And one way we've realized that we can do that is to connect it with sport, because people get passionate about sport. So the Sports ISOW has been engaged in a number of years with supporting major international sporting events with threat intelligence. And one way of forming a community initiative is to get engaged with Sports ISOW through the student workforce, a workforce program, which we help set up, and advertise, promote this notion of, hey, get trained on cyber threat intelligence by getting engaged in this cyber threat intelligence activity that supports major international or major sports events.
So let's break there and hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
New Cyber Frontier, we're getting an update from the Cyber Resilience Institute. And before the break, Doug, you had said the best way to get involved with the community, the best way to get cyber is through sports that Americans love. So tell us about your programs aligned with the sports and how you've worked with all these international events to strengthen cyber along the events and community awareness. Tell us how that works.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Sport is such a magnet, right? And in trying to form community initiatives, and it's not always that easy to explain what the outcome would be and why to get involved. When we loop in sport, when we weave in sport and say, hey, we have this major sporting event, would you like to get involved and learn cyber threat intelligence collection and analysis by using the sport as the platform that we're collecting against? And that gets the students involved. That gets the workforce involved. And then once you have this traction, this magnetism of activity, then you can get sponsors involved. You can get users of the intelligence. So a couple of examples of that, and probably the most significant effort in the past year was we supported with intelligence the Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. So we were affiliated we were reporting into government users there in Korea, as well as some private sector partners. And we also involved students from across the country that we had previously trained, and they were our crowd watch, as we call them. And so we effectively crowdsourced threat intelligence. We had the collection and analysis side crowdsourced, and we had the users from government as well as industry as users. And that environment, how does it tie into community market making? That is an attraction because people want to be involved, including sponsors and students and so on. Jane, is there anything else that you want to add to that?
The thing that I really want to focus in on is how important it is for the students to get some hands-on experience. And we've had such success with the students that have come through our program and have participated in our pop-up socks, with them getting jobs. The real impediment to the students getting a job when they come right out of school is that they often don't have any real hands-on experience to put on their resume. But with this, they're able to write on their resume that they've had experience in an operational sock. Even though we're implementing it in a virtual context, we're running it as a sock with daily operations and daily reporting, and we train the students on how that works.
Jane, give us a little more definition of, you know, first, what is SOC and what types of activities they're doing? Because students want to, you know, they're getting excited about it. I've seen them. I've been there. But tell us what types of things excited them and what types of things they found out and were able to get experience on.
Okay. So, yeah, we have a license on a threat intelligence platform, and we assign seats to each of the students so that they are able to learn how a threat intelligence platform, or we call them TIPS, how it works, how you use them, what you do, how you manually ingest data, how you then analyze data, how you enrich your data with other third-party sources. We also use a number of different open source tools for social media monitoring. Now, this is really important because in very high profile sports events, you often have stars that have social media accounts, and you have major sponsors that have a brand name that they protect and want to have protected. And so we set up alerts for our key stakeholders so that we can watch to see whether or not there's any negative sentiment expressed about any of the athletes or the sponsors. And now over to you, Doug.
And then the culmination of that hunting and analysis is report writing. And so we give them opportunities to write analytic reports that combine or fuse geopolitical dimensions. In other words, if it's a potential state actor or a terrorism-related actor, what are the motives behind that? Because that will suggest what other attacks may be coming. And so the geopolitical, of course, the social media and the threat intelligence, and fuse that into a report that can be actionable either technically through automated threat exchange using Stix Taxi, which is a standard and protocol, or situational awareness reports so that it's usable at the leadership level. The other, I think, really cool aspect of this program is we've been involved now with a number of universities, more than 30, and their students, and the use case that I described of how do you use this to build a community activity. Cleveland has really been our most dynamic partner with some universities there that have been collaborating with us, but we're having similar talks in Texas and Maryland, even a little bit here in Colorado. So there's a number of use cases now to demonstrate that there's aspects of what we're doing that are very useful for those communities to start forming their community activity.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us about other programs that are going on under CRI.
Thanks. Yeah. So that the threat intelligence workforce program, it helps build, you know, community cyber. Helps is your starting point for CMarket, and CMarket is there are a host of programs within CMarket. So the training that I just described is CWatch, and we're now offering it as a fee-based course for student adoption. We're working with a number of partners, both community as well as platform and content providers, and that's now being offered online. You, of course, can find it through the CMarket website, and we develop relationships, business relationships, and business terms with our partners, and so that's what helps them see the value in starting a community initiative. Because we'll work with them and arrange business terms so that it's a win-win for both sides. So that's the Sea Watch program. This summer of 2018. The next instance of it is training students, and we'll have the laboratory set up, the collection analysis and reporting laboratory, the pop-up SOC. That will be set up in support of the World Cup. So this will be an ongoing, repeatable course, and we're reaching out to a number of communities to adopt it and work with us. Another program, well, let me stop. Gene, anything you wanted to add to the Sea Watch?
So what we've found is that once we have trained the students and they understand our workflow and they understand the tools that we're using, we are really interested in, one, helping them to get jobs, and two, helping them to get contract work. And so we formed the CrowdWatch, which is a surge workforce capacity that we sponsor with NCRI to help our various partners when they have a particular need. And that is one of our other programs, the CrowdWatch program.
Yeah, and thanks for that. And so what we do is we train them, and then we convert it into an apprentice model, which is the CrowdWatch. And then we truly start to grow the crowdsource threat intelligence collection cadre. And again, that brings value to community partners as well. They can outsource that essentially labor force to support commercial and government needs. Another program, again, all these are tied to what's the value proposition for creating a, you know, supporting community cyber and developing an initiative. This one involves cyber insurance. So we formed a partnership and with insurance carrier Ridge Global, and Risk Cooperative is who they are out of the DC area, and in partnership with CyberUSA, we were able to develop a product offering that is available for community partners to offer to their membership. You know, essentially, the cyber insurance covers a bit of risk, of course, but you couple that with services and create an even more attractive risk pool or lower risk pool, and that creates a value proposition for the community partner to be able to advocate and to articulate their value proposition for members, because members can acquire a cyber insurance product, and then as well the services that go along with it are provided by the community, by community vendors. And this is ways that we are market making, helping the market make in communities. Jane, anything to add?
No, I think you pretty much summed it up.
So it sounds like you guys are at CRI, were, and this is my take, is the community is the pool of members that basically we enable them to have many different services related to cyber that are pulled together so that then they don't have to support the cost and bear the cost of that all to themselves. It's kind of like having a whole cyber team and all kinds of cyber resources at your fingertips, but yet you only have to pay a small membership to become involved with the community.
That's right, Chris. It's
exactly
a couple
right.
of things. Sorry, Jane.
I was just saying, yes, your interpretation is exactly right, Chris.
If we're doing two things. We're both, so when I say market making, what's meant by that is that we really want market forces to proliferate, that cyber becomes less of a very expensive cost center to an innovation center. So the market making brings together supply and demand, and some of the service offerings I described are ways that our partners can generate revenue to sustain themselves. And the other part is, you're exactly right, that it's a pooling of resources. many of the necessary defensive means are too expensive for many prospective users. So by cost sharing, we make it more affordable for all the members.
That makes sense.
What else did we say we're going to cover we haven't covered? Should we go back to call to action?
Yeah, I mean, how would people get involved with you? Who do you want to reach out to you? What types of, you know, give us some information about how to get in touch with you.
So the ISACs and ISAOs are ideal partners because they're either forming or have formed. They already buy into the mission and support information sharing. Also, community champions, those in the community, whether it's a chamber of commerce or a consortium of vendors, cyber vendors, users that see a heightened risk. You know, there's different types of partners that we work with. So, but it's that community stakeholder group that comes together and wants to adopt this model. And, you know, that gets back to the call to action that we really see more and more, really want more and more of our partners as well as champions to get behind this notion that we all have to form community capacity, you know, that we've got to address this collectively. You know, one way of looking at it is that the bad guys, if you will, they have a profit center. It's called the black market or the dark net or the dark web. So they're monetizing cybercrime. And if we all stand alone on an island, then we're each going to be picked off, you know, in serial fashion. But by combining and creating initiatives that generate revenue and innovation, it starts to create a market so that we're combating a market force, the bad guy's market force, with a good guy's market force. And that's why we think we need more folks to rally behind this idea of community cyber. And as markets get made, typically, costs go down. So the efficiencies escalate and increase, and that drives down costs, makes cyber more affordable, more adoptable, more readily deployed.
All right. So that is a great model. I think that as more and more people become aware, we'll definitely bringing some capabilities of protecting yourself in the virtual world to people and companies that might not have been able to afford it before. So thanks for all you do, and thanks for being on the show today to Cyber Resilience Institute and Jane Ginn and Douglas DePepe. Thanks a lot for joining today.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.